of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name.
Where's this from?
Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Does that sound like a God who cares about us? Does that sound like a God who loves us? Who takes care of us? Who conquers our sins and iniquities? Who separates them from us? Who is involved with us? Who makes known his ways to us? His acts to the people who love him? Does it sound like a God who's involved in our lives? Do you think God cares about us? Do you think God cares about every little thing? Do you think he does? I don't know about you, but I read in my Bible, it says, in him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. That's God working out everything. What a loving and a wonderful God we have. I'll read it in a different translation. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. So that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be to the praise of his glory. That's Ephesians chapter 1. Verses 11 and 12. He works out everything and he cares about us and he cares about the details. He cares about the details. My friend Vic Miller, a pastor from Four Square Gospel Church, he's retired now and doing other pastory things, but he just sent me, and it's one's in the church library too, a book that he wrote. That actually God did amazing things in his life, and he believes in a miraculous God. And he just wrote all these little vignettes. I'm going to share a few of them with you today. It says he quotes Isaiah 43:19, "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Psalm 23:13, "He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake." This is what he says. On a cold Sunday evening in the early 1990s, myself, Margaret, my wife, and our two sons, Joshua and Jason, were on our way home from church, a trip of about 20 miles. The snow had begun falling while we were in the evening worship service and had continued to increase to nearly whiteout conditions. As we were about 5 miles from home, and with nearly 8 inches of snow on the road, we suddenly heard a loud bang as the left rear tire blew out. So, and he says, there was no safe place to pull over to change the tires, so we agreed to keep going and trusted the Lord to get us safely home. At that moment, the van stopped wobbling and became very stable. As we arrived at home, I pushed the remote garage door opener and pulled the van into the garage. We exited the van and saw that the entire sidewall of the tire had slits all the way around it, from the rim to the tread of the tire. But the tire was completely inflated, packed solidly with snow. So, my friend is a guy who believes that God cares about the little things. And he cares about you, and he cares about me. There are some people who believe that God, if God exists, they say, that God just started the world spinning like a top, just kind of walked away, and it's just kind of left to us people, and then we don't have to deal, or not deal, but we don't have to explain anything. It's just God started it all off, and then we're just doing what we do. But that's not what we believe. We don't believe God started off the world like a spinning top. Because we know the Word of God. And we know from the Word of God that God is involved. Constantly involved. And He cares. And He constantly cares. And that, in a sense, everything's important. You know? Everything. Like the butterfly effect. You know, the butterfly flapping his wings and it has effect on something else and something else. It sounds crazy, I know. But little things are important, especially to God. And He says if you're faithful in the little things, you'll be faithful in the big things. We tend to think the other way around. We think in the big stories like, well, if that ever happened, I'd stand for my faith. But do you stand for your faith in the little things? In the little things? Even getting to church on Sunday is standing for the faith in the little things, isn't it? Because if you're not here, it's okay. And we love you and we understand. Now I know sometimes people have some physical problems and they can't get there. Or they feel like it's dangerous to come out and stuff. Pray for healing for those folks. Understand that. But there's other folks who is just, oh well, to be a good Christian, you just show up in church once a month. Well, you need the fellowship. You need people around you, you know? So, actually to get up and do your devotions. That's a little thing too, being faithful in a little thing, isn't it? We had somebody who actually came to our men's prayer breakfast like 20 minutes late yesterday, and they had the best excuse ever. They forgot about prayer breakfast because they were doing their devotions. Wasn't that wonderful? You know? So, whoever gives thought to the word will discover good. And blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. And blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. So, think about these things. Think about these things. And I do pray a prayer of thanks for those who are watching online today. And I know some of you all, it would feel kind of dangerous for you to be out here. And some of you have sensitive health conditions. And may God heal you all. But what I'm thinking about is people who just, I don't know. You know what I'm talking about, like the excuses song. In the summer it's too hot, in the winter it's too cold, in the springtime when the weather's just right, you find someplace else to go. It's up to the mountains or down to the beach or to visit some old friend or just stay home and kind of relax and hope the kinfolk will start dropping in. Right? Yeah, something like that. Yeah. There's a lot of different things. So I don't want to be unkind. We do understand people who it's just tough to get here because of health things. And may God bless you and heal you and make you strong. But there's other times when we just go with the easy way, don't we? And even the easy way of understanding God when things are difficult. We just say, oh, God just started the world spinning. God just started the world spinning. That's just the way it is. We're just causing all our own problems. Well, God cares. And God just didn't start the world spinning. He created the world in 6 days, thousands of years ago. He created the world. And once He created, He has been ever involved ever since. And something about His Lordship just keeps you breathing. It keeps your heart beating when you're not even thinking about it. This painting up on the screen here is from, does anybody remember what the painting's called from last week?
Autumn of the Hudson.
Harder question. Anybody remember who the artist was? It was Jasper Francis Cropsey. You call him Francis. Okay. Anybody remember what year it was? 1860. And it was during a romanticism type of time in the art world where you would see pictures that had like light glowing out from the pictures. Just light emanating from everywhere. Just kind of was kind of a glowing thing. And the pictures seemed kind of ethereal, kind of like a little bit in a haze. This picture came from the same time period, but is actually a statement against it. Because that kind of hazy, cloudy light coming from everything is almost like a quasi pantheism thing that a lot of people believe in today. That like, oh well, God's in creation and God's in everything. Like, you want to love God, go up and kiss a tree. And you might be watching some schmaltzy movie at home and they say, oh well, it looks like the universe gave you your perfect boyfriend. Whatever. But it's not the universe. It's not just everything that God created. The art is not the artist. The art shows you about the artist. And this picture says that God is transcendent. He is apart from His creations. Light is a symbol of the divine presence in art. And so the light in this painting comes from the heavens. And it also appears from someplace and pours over things. Like God's divine presence is objective, apart from His creation, yet affecting everything. And you'll notice this picture is also not hazy, not clouded, because it's in detail, very clear detail. In fact, if you look closely enough, you can even see a church on the coast in a little town. How many of you up there even saw the little town? Didn't you just think it was a landscape, right? Just a lot of natural things. There's a little town there too. And God cares about all the little details. And He cares about the details of your life and my life too. And some of you have had some pretty difficult details to get over. Right? I remember talking to one person in our congregation who had an eye problem when they were young, you know? My brother. They were like cutting rope for a treehouse or something like that. And he cut a knife into his left eye, I think it was, when he was a little kid. Right into the center of his eye. And he had it sewn up. And it was a tough thing for him. Just a little boy. Probably a tough thing for the brothers who were playing with him at the time too. But they sewed him up and he never had sight in that eye ever. So now when he has an eye appointment for the other eye, it is really important to him that things go well. But my brother played varsity basketball. You know, you think that would mess with his depth perception, but no, he did fine. Pray for him. He still needs prayer. He does. But isn't it something how God can even bless you, even when you have difficulties, and he can even make you shine and shine well? There's a man mentioned in relative obscurity in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Listen to this. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, "I gave birth to him in pain." So Jabez sounds like the Hebrew for pain. So how would you like it if your mother says, "Well, he's a pain," or "he's his name means pain"? From early on in childhood, you know? Reminds me of that Johnny Cash song, "The Boy Named Sue," remember? Anybody remember that song? Yeah. So, he didn't just fight through this name. It says in verse 10 of chapter 4, Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain." And God granted his request. Does it ever make you wonder what would have happened if Jabez just never would have prayed that prayer? Sometimes we don't have something because we just don't pray. And sometimes we don't have something because we pray, but we ask with wrong motives. But if your motives are in tune with God, and Jabez was a man more honorable than his brothers, so he was an honorable man with, you would assume, good motives. And Romans chapter 8, 28 says, "All things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose." It's not just naturally all things work together for good, but if you love God, if you're called according to his purpose, if you're living your life according to his word, his Bible, his scriptures, and living it with his heart, a heart that cares about what he cares about, justice, mercy, faithfulness, righteousness, what does the Lord require of you to do, but to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? If your heart rings with the things that rings, that love, that God's heart loves, pray for mighty things. And God can redeem you, save you, bring you out of the place where you might have been named. You know, there's even, a New Name in Glorious song says too. Remember that song? But God can give you a new name today, just like he gave Abraham, Sarai, Sarah. God can bless you, and God can bring you out, because he cares about what you care about. Pray to him. And even if you have your life starting off in wrong circumstances, people so many times like to play the victim. And they'll play the victim, and they'll try to use it, and use it, and use it, and use it. And even political parties, I think, like to keep people right where they are sometimes, just so they can use it and use it and use it for their own political purposes. But who wants to redeem and bring people out? Jesus does. Jesus wants to make you different. Jesus wants to help you live beyond yourself and live greater and better. And I'm not talking about worldly riches. Maybe sometimes he gives you some riches. Use it for his glory. But sometimes he just gives you what he gives you. And you use it for his glory. Sometimes poverty can even be a blessing. If it's poverty in God's sight, in his power to use for his glory, I don't know. He could just use what he wants to use. But certainly God wants to give us good things. Look at Job chapter 38. And if you're looking there while you're turning there, let me share you another story from Pastor Vic. Psalm 5, 1-3, New Living Translation. O Lord, hear me as I pray. Pay attention to my groaning. Listen to my cry for help, my King and my God, for I pray to no one but you. Listen to my voice in the morning, Lord. Each morning I bring my request to you and wait expectantly. A good reminder, since we're going to talk about Job, there's an incredible time of waiting. Psalm 5, 1-3, King James Version. Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray my voice shall, for unto thee will I pray, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. If I can remember from the ESV, I think it goes like, hear my cry, O God, listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I call to thee, I call to you when my heart is faint. No, that's what we just sang. Yeah. Psalm 5, because this is another one too that I think the Lord is trying to help me memorize, which obviously I'm not doing too well yet. So, Psalm 5. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my groaning. Give attention to the sound of my cry, my King and my God. For to you do I pray. O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch. Well, I like the way that translates in the ESV, because it has it, and watch. It's like the cliffhanger, right? Listen to this little story. Throughout much of my life, I've lived with low self-esteem and bouts of depression. One of the worst experiences with depression came in the late 1980s. My family and I owned a nice brick rancher on a nearby one-acre lot with hundreds of acres of southern pine and pin oak trees behind our property. The ground in this area of South Carolina was very sandy, and there were natural paths throughout the woods. On this particular day, I was emotionally expended, feeling worthless, stupid, and unloved. I was home alone that day and felt like I needed to go into the woods and just keep walking and praying. You ever feel like that? Suddenly, I became overwhelmed with depression. I stopped about a quarter mile into the woods and began to cry uncontrollably. I began crying out to Jesus, pleading with him to show me somehow that at least he loved me. Jesus responded, looked down at the path. As I did, I spotted what looked like a piece of white pottery, partially buried in the sand. I began to remove the sand, only to discover a perfect white coffee cup. My tears became tears of uncontrollable joy. I knew that this cup had to be a gift from Jesus himself as a show of his love for me. I began singing and praising him for his kindness. Then he said to me, "Turn the cup over." As I did, I saw what was stamped into the bottom of the cup. Victor. Nothing could have been a clearer demonstration of his love and his care for me at that moment. The cup now occupies a place of honor on the top shelf of the bookcase that is in my study, along with other things he mentions in this book. That coffee cup with his own name on the bottom of it. God cares about the little things. He's involved in the little things, and he cares about us. He cares about Job, too. And Job, it's a hard historical account in the Bible. And there's a lot of questions, and maybe after you read it, you even have more questions. But Job is a good man. He is a good, good man. Just like, and it says in Ezekiel chapter 14, when it's talking about like how even if Noah, Job, and Daniel were in this city, then only those people would be saved. It's like even if those people in this city, tell them how bad the situation is. But he lifts up those people as examples. And I'm thinking, what are those people examples? Why are these the ones God picked in Ezekiel 14 as people that are, you know, special people to compare. And I was thinking that these were people who did not throw in the towel. You think when Noah, a preacher of righteousness, preaches for as long as he preached, must have been, I mean, he's built the ark for what, 100 years or so? I don't know, but he's preaching righteousness, and his work is preaching righteousness in the midst of a whole bunch of people. It's preaching condemnation and salvation at the same time. It's an ark. Just like the cross is like what you deserve and what you'll get for eternity unless you look to Jesus and truly accept it, and then he pays it all and you've got salvation and there's no punishment for you. So the ark is an ark, and Jesus, the cross, is an ark. So Noah, he didn't give up. Daniel, he didn't give up. Did you ever think about how many kings Daniel survived? Like one after another, Nebuchadnezzar, Belteshazzar, and then Darius, and all these different kings, different kingdoms come and go. And Daniel's still in a high position of authority. And he still does not bow down. He still keeps on doing his prayers. Even if he's thrown in the lion's den, he doesn't give up. And Job, he doesn't do what even, like his wife is not even like a friend to him at a time. Although you must understand, she had a lot of loss too. And she was, you know, her nerves must have been very stretched. But he would not, Job would not curse God and die. Job still hoped in God. Job still trusted that the righteous way God told him to be, he was righteous before God, and he still trusted. He still trusted that God is not punishing him. But he had questions. He had questions. He still went through it all doing well. Because he's blessed at the end of the story. Although God still has some words to speak to him. Words that, like, when you don't understand what's going on, when you don't see my hand so clearly, when you don't have the clear understanding of my hand of blessing, then can you please just keep on trusting my heart? And when you don't understand things in this world, things that are frustrating, trust that God is a good God, and that God is still working out his Romans 8:28 good in your life, and that God still has a blessing for you today. And he's still looking to bless you. He's looking, his eyes are going all across the world, looking for somebody who's looking to him to bless. The Bible tells us that in Psalms, and I think it's in one of the Chronicles too, that he's looking for somebody who earnestly seeks him. Don't throw in the towel. Don't give up, because God is still involved. God still cares. It's not like all of a sudden God just, I'm keeping that towel with me. I'm not throwing in the towel. I'm keeping the towel. I'm just going to keep it. And you don't throw in the towel either. You don't give up when you don't understand. You just know that it takes a little bit more waiting for the blessing to come. Don't give up on God. Because God has a wonderful ultimate purpose that he's working out in you. And whoever gives thought to the word would discover good. Claim his precious promises. Lean on them. Trust that weeping may remain for a night, but joy comes in the morning. All these people I mentioned, Job, Daniel, and Noah, they were survivors. It wasn't always easy, but God blessed them. He blessed them abundantly. Listen to Job chapter 38. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Dress for action like a man, I will question you, and you make it known to me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. I think sarcasm is a lot like anger, you know? We can have righteous anger, but it's kind of, we got to be careful, because there's a lot of times we think we can have righteous anger, but it's, you got to be really making sure you're walking in step with the Holy Spirit to have righteous anger. It's also, you got to be walking in step with the Holy Spirit, I think, to have righteous sarcasm. God can be sarcastic, and it's funny when he is, but he can be, because he has the right to lift up the irony that you have questions for me. You have questions for me. It's like your toddler questioning you on how you're raising them. Just trust me and do what I'm saying. Just do what I'm saying. Just trust me and wait. Why can't I drive? Why I just had a birthday. I'm 5 years old. Why can't I drive this car? Just trust me and wait till you're 16. Whatever. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what works basis sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst out from the womb? When it burst out from the womb. When I made thick clouds, when I made clouds its garment, and thick darkness its swaddling band, and prescribed limits for it, and set bars and doors, and said, thus far you shall come, and no farther. And here shall your proud waves be stayed. Have you commanded the morning? Have you commanded the morning since your days began, and caused the dawn to know its place, that it might take hold of the skirts of the earth, and the wicked be shaken out of it? It is changed like clay under the seal, and its features stand out like a garment. From the wicked their light is withheld, and their uplifted arm is broken. Have you entered into the springs of the sea, or walked in the recesses of the deep? Have the gates of death been revealed to you? Or have you seen the gates of deep darkness? Have you comprehended the expanse of the earth? Declare if you know all this. Where is the way to the dwelling of light, and where is the place of darkness, that you may take it to its territory, and that you may discern the paths to its home? You know, for you were born then, and the number of your days is great. Job 39, 19, 45. Do you give the horse his might? Do you clothe his neck with a mane? Do you make him leap like a locust? His majestic snorting is terrifying. He paws in the valley and exults in his strength. He goes out to meet the weapons. He laughs at fear and is not dismayed. He does not turn back from the sword. Upon him rattle the quiver, the flashing spear and the javelin. With fierceness and rage he swallows the ground. He cannot stand still at the sound of the trumpet. When the trumpet sounds, he says, aha! He smells the battle from afar, the thunder of the captains and the shouting. Is it by your understanding that the hawk soars and spreads his wings toward the south? Is it at your command that the eagle mounts up and makes his nest on high? On the rock he dwells and makes his home, on the rocky crag and stronghold. From there he spies out the prey, his eyes behold it from afar. His young ones suck up blood, and where the slain are, there he is. And the Lord said to Job, shall a fault finder contend with the Almighty? He who argues with God, let him answer it. Then Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am of small account. Where shall I answer you? What shall I answer? Behold, I am of small account. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand on my mouth. I have spoken once, and I will not answer twice. But I will not proceed. I have spoken once and will not answer twice, but I will proceed no further. Kind of a funny response, isn't it? Behold, I am of small account. Behold, I am of small account. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand on my mouth. I have spoken once and I will not answer twice, but I will proceed no further. It's kind of like when people say, well, shut their mouths. He doesn't have anything else to say. You ever think that one day when we all get to heaven, anybody who says, well, when I have a question, there's not going to be any questions. It's just going to be a lot of learning, whether it's all at once or a joyous time of learning like we like to learn stuff here. But God is good. God is good.
All the time. God is good.
And we need to trust that. Trust him, trust his promises, and trust all the stories that we hear from the Bible, those historical accounts of people who have learned how not to throw in the towel, how to just stand for a good and mighty God who does not give up on us. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Just abide in him. Trust in him. Trust that he cares about the details. That he's overseeing everything. That divine presence of God, he is overseeing everything. I conclude, before we take communion, I conclude with one other little story from Vic about how God cares about the little things. And I want you to remember that God cares about the little things, every little thing of your life. Trust Him for the great things and the little things. Isn't that what He shows us? In the intricacy of a passion flower, and in the awesomeness of a winter storm. We just hear the wind blow the other night, and as Lisa said, that's just like what you think about when you think about, what did you say about like...
blizzard.
When you think about a blizzard sound. That's just the sound when you hear it, you know? Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Jesus Christ. Matthew 6:8b, For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. On Good Friday, 1974, while still a student at Columbia Bible College in Columbia, South Carolina, my wife, infant daughter, and I were preparing to move our mobile home from a trailer park onto a private lot. We spent our final cent paying a company to do the move for us. Nothing went right or according to schedule. There were flat tires and multiple other problems that had to be overcome. Finally, the trailer left the park with my family as an escort to the new location. I decided to stay behind to clean up the lot for our landlord. Suddenly, I became very sick with a cold sweat, stomach cramps, and a parched throat. As a child, I was told to drink a Coke to help cure an upset stomach. But Cokes cost a quarter, and I didn't have a quarter. This is 1974. I picked up my shovel, and as I stepped onto it to push it into the ground, I prayed, "Father, I need a quarter." As the shovel went into the ground, I heard a distinct clink. As I turned the shovel over to dump the dirt, there lay a quarter right on top of the dirt. I drove with my quarter to the Texaco station up the road and bought a Coke. As I drank the Coke, my strength returned and I was able to finish the work I set out to do with a new song in my heart and on my lips. God cares about you. Pray about it. Pray about all the little things and pray about whatever great things. God cares. He cares. Don't throw in the towel. Amen?